Welcome to Walk With Me, a podcast where we discuss issues around the Christian faith and society. I am your host, Emmanuel. Today, my guest is Brother Steve Gang, a man whose life was radically altered after his near-death experience that brought him face-to-face with the reality of hell. What began as a night of overdose became an encounter that shattered his understanding of life, judgment, suffering, and ultimately God himself. In this conversation, Steve shares his spiritual journey before the experience, what he remembers from crossing into that other realm, and how the aftermath transformed him emotionally, spiritually, and practically. We will also explore difficult questions surrounding guilt, morality, Buddhism, suffering, near-death experiences, and whether this encounter can simply be explained away as neurological phenomena. This episode is not presented to sensationalize fear, but to invite reflection. The reflection on the soul, on truth, on grace, and what it means to confront eternity. Whether you approach this conversation with belief, skepticism, curiosity, or personal searching, I encourage you to listen carefully and thoughtfully. We are glad to have you here with us, Brother Steve. So, let us start with a word of prayer.
Yes, God, I thank you, Lord. We surrender this time to you, Lord God, as I converse with Pastor Emmanuel Israel in the Lord, in the Spirit, for your glory.
Amen.
God, take over, Father, our conversation, and may every listener be drawn closer to you.
Amen.
To live from the Spirit in surrender and worship and obedience, God, in great fear and honor of the Lord. Yes, God. So we thank you, God, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for the opening prayer.
Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. So the first thing I would like to ask would be, can you just tell me about yourself? Who are you, especially for those who are getting to see you or hear from you for the first time?
My name is Steve Kang. I live here in Orange County, California. I'm in my 40s now and been serving God since the age of 20.
Amen.
So I've been serving God the past 25 years. I was born in a Buddhist home, so that makes me someone who did not grow up in the church. I was once very confused, fearful, lost, and had no peace, no purpose. By God's grace, I'm full of life, joy, peace, purpose, and connection to God. So yeah, in a nutshell, I'm a child of God, led by the Spirit, and a bondservant of Christ. And that's what my full identity is. So yeah, I also work. I work as an IT. I work as a business consultant. But I'm married to Grace Kim. But before I married her, I was in full-time ministry. And then after I got married, I have both ministry and kingdom business. So so very grateful for that. My wife is amazing. Pastor's kid herself. I attend Irvine All Nations or Unuri Church here as an evangelist pastor. And ministry-wise, I founded Revive the Nations, which touches millions of people and disciples dozens of pastors and raises and equips ministers in these last days. So, yeah, I'm just a lover of the Lord. I'm just a lover of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
thank you for that. So I got to know you through reading and listening to your videos and articles about your near-death experience. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what your life was before and after that?
Yes, Pastor Manuel. The cool thing is I got to know about you too on the phone call.
Yes.
It's an honor to be with you. You have an amazing life, a story of God's redemption. For me, I got redeemed by God myself in 1998. Before I got redeemed, I was a Buddhist, and in Buddhism, they really emphasize like getting your sins atoned for through self-improvement, meditation, because like they taught me my whole life. So at the age of 19, I met God.
Mm.
Before that, I was a confused Buddhist. Like I loved Christians, but I just thought there's no way one religion can be the only way until I myself had a near-death experience. So I had my whole life planned out to become an attorney, live for success and wealth and whatever, fame, glory, the values of this world. But at the age of 19, I had a near-death experience where I went to a party and smoked marijuana, because that's what they do at parties with non-Christians. And when I smoked it, it kept me up for 10 straight days, Pastor Israel, because it was laced with heroin, cocaine, and PCP, these very dangerous drugs. So I had a near-death experience. I almost died by attempting suicide. Before, I didn't share this story, but by God's grace, knowing God's grace and His redemption, I went from suicidal to fullness of life, right? So, but back then I didn't have the Lord, so I attempted suicide, and it happened because I had a demonic encounter. When I smoked this weed and this drug, it kept me up for so many days, and during this staying up and brain damage and open doors through idolatry and praying to the wrong God that's not Jesus, I had an open door and the demon came to me, but not as a demon. So I had a face encounter with the devil, but he came to me as an Asian grandpa that asked me to lay down my life, to kill myself, to get 50,000 less years of hell. So I grabbed the biggest knife I could find, and I went for it, and I cut my neck and my stomach open, and I had what's called the OBE, or out-of-body experience, where my spirit left my body from all the pain and the injuries and losing of blood and cutting of organs, and I went down to hell, which I don't believe in, which I didn't believe in, excuse me. And when I was there, in the physical, I was there for about 8 hours. That's how long the surgery was. Went to the doctors. But when I was there, by God's grace, I experienced eternal separation from God in spirit, soul, you know, everything just in my mind. It's just like the Bible says. So I had an encounter with the devil, and then I experienced hell, where it was the most darkest and loneliest and most condemning and fearful and anxious place with zero hope. It's not good to be hopeless. I had zero hope. However, the Lord visited me through the prayers of a local church called Grace Ministers International. The ministers came from that church through the phone call of my mom's friend, and they prayed for me during the 8 hours. And because of their prayers, the surgery went well. My spirit came back to my body, and I opened my eyes. And before I did, the Lord spoke to me about His love. And when I opened my eyes, I was surrounded by all these people from that church. And I looked at my body, and I had staples and tubes everywhere. But after what I saw, hell, the demons and the hell and the darkness and the emptiness of, and the torture of hell, when I came back to earth, I was so glad to see them. And I received the Lord Jesus with a sinner's prayer. So I prayed that prayer while eight of them were praying for me. So yeah, I believe in the power of intercession. I believe in the power of the gospel to save. Amen. That was my introduction to Christianity back in 1998, 28 years ago.
Wow, wow, wow. So you described in your interviews, your articles, you described seeing what you understood as hell. What stood out most vividly to you in that experience?
I think what stood out to me the most in this biblical experience or encounter, because I went there as a Buddhist. I didn't go there as a Christian. So I never read the Bible. But when I went there, I supernaturally knew this is an eternal punishment. Like, I just knew I'm never getting out of here, which was very scary. Because in God, there is no fear. There's healthy fear of the Lord, but His perfect love casts out all fear. And I felt this guilty sentence on me, like, I'm a bad person that needs to be here forever, which was really strange, Pastor Israel, because as a Buddhist back then, I never thought that. I was a really good guy in my own moral standards. I was a very righteous guy. I never killed anybody, right? I'm not Hitler, right? I stole like chocolate before and cheated on a test, but like, you know, they would have not, I just thought it wouldn't land me in hell. But the Bible says all people are born sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And no one goes to heaven unless one's born again. So I wasn't born again, John 3:3. So here I'm in hell, which is eternal separation from God. What I experienced the most was eternal. First of all, the spiritual fear and the condemnation stood out. Secondly, even though my mental torture, the anxiety, the fear just increased like a hundredfold and went up the roof. The hopelessness, the darkness, guilt was something I never felt on earth. So for me, it was a very spiritual experience. And visually, I saw hell, which is a place of utter darkness. I couldn't hear my teeth gnashing, but my soul was gnashing. There's no plants or sun or animals or grass anywhere. It was just rocks everywhere, very dry. The demons were not friendly. They looked like evil. I just knew they were evil. I never met them, but or spoke with them, but I just knew they were evil. There was people everywhere, which was really scary. I wasn't the only one there. There was people everywhere, but I felt so lonely because due to my pain, I couldn't talk to anyone. I did not have the capacity to hold a conversation. So I was lonely, afflicted, isolated. The physical pain, I felt like things were going through my stomach. I felt like a chain was in my stomach. I felt like it was not a place of life. It was just death. It's what a pastor in Korea that I really respect describes as the perfect judgment from a perfect God in a perfect way against his perfect enemies, because it was created for the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Bible, the demons have a right to torture believers. It's all over Psalms and Job, all over Matthew. The people get punished with great beatings, and that's not angels doing that. That's or other saints. I believe it's demons doing that. But there's a second judgment, which is the lake of fire, where people end up and they burn with the Antichrist. But in Sheol, you get punished by the enemy and the devil. It's all over the scriptures. So that's what I experienced. But I saw to the left, Pastor Israel, like cells, which was very strange. I was like, why is there prisons in this place? And I knew I was going to go in there and get tortured. I didn't go through all that. But that was my experience of hell, a place of utter hopelessness and condemnation.
As you were describing your experience, it reminded me of this animal called mole. This animal is known to walk through its lifetime blind. But immediately you kill the animal, all of a sudden the eyes opens up. Yeah, it almost feels as if, based on your experience, all of a sudden you had this awareness of guilt. You understand your identity and you have moral clarity, something that, was devoid of your existence prior to that. So it's almost as if you know everything to be clear right now. No one needs to explain anything to you, but there's a sense of moral clarity. Now, how did you begin to interpret what happened to you? Did you immediately, connected everything to Christianity? How did you begin to interpret that experience?
The experience, there was no interpretation for it, except I knew it was reality. I knew I was deceived by the Buddhist spirits that promised me nirvana. Because the grandpa that spoke to me, I thought he was going to appear and take me to some other place, but he disappeared the minute I felt like I died. So that was a big disappointment. So I knew already, I got duped. The minute I landed in hell, I was like, man, I made the biggest mistake of my life. But it was too late, because I was already there. And then when I woke up through the prayers of the saints and God's perfect timing and his great mercy, in his sovereignty, he chose me to experience this and come out and tell everyone hell's real. Which is what every Christian should be doing. I came out and I didn't connect the dots right away, but I heard supernatural voices and peace before I woke up. And now I know it's Jesus. But back then I didn't know, because he gave me supernatural peace. I thought it was another Buddhist spirit. But I was like, who is this? What is this? Now I know it's the Lord. And I opened my eyes and I was surrounded by Christians who explained to me, who asked me right away, what did you see? Are you okay? At first they looked at me and they said, devil be gone in Jesus' name. I said, I'm not the devil. And they said, oh, good, because, I tried to kill myself. Maybe they thought I was, still demon-possessed. They just made sure, right? These are professional, deliverance ministers and evangelists, I guess. And then afterwards, they told me what I saw is the biblical hell, which is, I said, yes. And I said, I'm not going back down there. They said, then you need to receive Jesus as Lord. And until that moment in my life, I never considered making Jesus Lord of my life. I wanted to be loyal to Buddhism and my Korean religion. But that minute after I saw hell, I said, hey, I'm ready to receive. So I prayed the sinner's prayer that day, not 3 times, but 10 times.
You want to be sure.
I wanted to be sure. No, 0% doubt. Yeah, that's why the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yep.
Make sure you're in the faith. Don't test yourself to see you're in the faith. Nothing else matters.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else matters but being in the Lord and obeying God's will and his word.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I listened to a woman, and there's this podcast. The podcaster goes into the train station in New York, and we just have conversation with normal people. So I listened to an episode, and a woman said, and I don't think that woman was a Christian, but she said something. She said, if Christians truly believe what they are saying to be true, that there is hell and it's internal, he said, they should be knocking at everybody's door and preaching so hard so that people can avoid going to that place. And, I used to tell my wife that, one day, may the Lord help me, is either a podcast, an article, or book, I want to give either a talk, like I said, like the unbelieving believers, like an oxymoron, unbelieving believers. You believe, but you also act as if you don't believe what you believe.
Right?
So you say that in your response that, this is something that Christians should be discussing, telling people. So What would you say to some people who believe that your near-death experience is just another example of neurological phenomena, like it's not real? How will you thoughtfully respond to them that this is real?
Yeah, so testimony and spiritual experiences are subjective in the sense that only one person experienced it.
Amen.
But it's objective in the sense that the same source or God is giving it in the same way to so many individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically, for two people to have the same hallucination is very impossible. So for me, the biggest fruit, though, because I hear two types of near-death experiences. One is a lie to promote oneself, and the other is true to promote Jesus. When I met the Lord and experienced heaven and hell, there was no way like my mind could just come up with this stuff. Because in Buddhism, I was never taught hell. I never imagined hell. But when I was there and I came back out, it fit the description of the Bible: eternal punishment, suffering and torture, gnashing of teeth. There's no light. The worms don't die. And when I experienced eternal separation from God and I came back out, it changed my life.
Mm.
It changed my life from living in sin to holiness. I think that's a big sign. And then it changed my life to share Christ with everybody. And then I started meeting all these other people. Nowadays with YouTube, hundreds of people with the same exact experience. And it's in the Bible, a book written 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make this stuff up. There's got to be an architect or a creator or a master planner behind all this. You know, the other day I met somebody I haven't seen in like 10 years. And we looked at each other like, there's no way we could have crossed paths unless God put it there. And we were talking and rejoicing. We met the next week. And I love how when Jesus was resurrected, the Roman Empire said, oh, find his body. This is a hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
They looked for his body. They couldn't find it. And they said, that guy's hallucinating. But 500 people saw it. And they all got martyred for the Lord. A person doesn't die for a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind five people having the same experience of seeing the resurrection. It's like one in a trillion. Mathematically, it's impossible. You know, it's like a monkey typing and writing a novel. Statistically, I heard that's one over like 17. It will take 17 trillion light years to write a book. In other words, 0%. So my experience mathematically, statistically, that is false and made up is mathematically 0%. Now, anyone can argue, though, and say, oh, your argument is, you know, you just hallucinated, you're on drugs. And I get that, and I get a lot of hate mail and messages, but my reply is the same. Jesus is true. He created the known world. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And why should we be surprised that there's a God that's greater than us, beyond life and death, who is the author of life and death, who knows what he's doing, and he created human beings? Because I tell you one thing, we're not from single-cell organisms. They prove like macroevolution to be false. There's no proof of all these statements people are making against God. Even Anthony Flew, the latest atheist, he looked at the DNA, at the intricacy and the individual uniqueness, every single DNA and how it works. And he confessed and said, guys, there has to be a God. There's a design, there's a designer. So he repented of atheism. Did you know that? The most influential atheist scholar in America. So yeah, my testimony is true. It changed my life. And yeah, now we're saving souls every opportunity we get.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So when you said it changed your life, you said something about holiness, living a holy life. What other experience does that near-death experience had in you? Lord, emotionally, spiritually, practically, like what other experience can you say that it triggered?
Yeah, I think that's a vital question in a day and age where the church has become compromised and is not respected, like in the book of Acts or days of the Reformation, where the church has been compromised with the alphabet clubs and man's opinion over God's word, where everyone goes to heaven. It's called universalism, syncretism, where you have one God and then you have your own gods. Like Israel was worshiping God in 2 Kings chapter 6, around there, they had their God and then they had other gods, and it messed up the country.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone can say, I love God, but the question is, what is God's love language? And it's obedience. The Lord says, anyone who says he loves me must keep my word. So as I study the Bible, it says verses like that was very shocking to me, like without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or say I'm Christian will enter the kingdom of God.
Mm.
And he said, many will walk on the wide road of destruction, but only a few to the road of life, and only a few find it. That doesn't mean two or three, but you know, I think it's like percentage-wise, I'm not sure. But he says, more people go to hell than heaven in Isaiah 66. There's all these verses that point to the way of God's judgment, because his grace is real, but his judgment is real.
Mm.
So when I saw hell and how crowded it was, and I went to heaven 9 months later, and it wasn't as crowded as hell, to be frank with you, I said, Lord God, like who gets to go to heaven? Because I was so scared. Even though I met God, I was filled with a healthy fear, like there's no way that guy's a Christian, you know, because When I before I met Jesus, every drug dealer I met had a cross and said he's Christian here in Los Angeles. So he's selling drugs and he's Christian. And they even took me to church. But we were high. I remember being high, sitting in the back room when I was 19 years old. And I don't remember one word of the sermon. Yeah, we're Christian. They made fun of me for being Buddhist. Hey, you're going to hell, Steve. And I was like, I didn't say nothing, but I was like, no, you're going to hell. You brought me here and you're selling me the drugs. So Jesus' love language is obedience. And he says very scary things like, don't deceive yourselves. You know, keep your lamps lit. Because once I come back and you're not ready, your oil's not burning, the door's going to be closed and you cannot come in. He says, repent now. Today's the day of salvation.
Amen.
I will not preach a watered-down gospel that's going to lead people to hell because then God's going to not be happy. So we're here to preach the full gospel of repentance unto eternal life. And here's the good news, Pastor Israel, about repentance. It means we're heading this way towards hell, but now we turn this way. You turn, and now we have a new mindset, and a new heart, and new spirit. It cannot be done by striving, but by surrender. In other words, God's in charge now. He tells me how to talk. He tells me where to go, how to spend my time, talents, and treasures. So for me, my number one goal in life is to be pleasing to God. When he sees me, he goes, Steve, I know you. Israel, I know you.
Amen.
That's all that matters. Nothing else matters.
Amen.
What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing.
Nothing.
So he says, save your soul. Make sure you're saved. Make sure.
Amen.
By clinging on to Jesus every day, denying ourselves every day and taking up the cross.
Amen. Wow. Thank you for that. I recorded another episode. It's called Once Saved, Always Saved. You know, trying to debunk that doctrine which you mentioned, you know, universalism. Yeah. So thank you for bringing that. I'll be editing that episode in addition today. So for our listeners, again, this is how you know that the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Thank you for pointing to that. And I know this is not part of the question I sent to you, but you said about 9 months later, you visited heaven. You know, can you tell us what it is? You know, again, I'm not saying about the picture because, you know, even from Ezekiel, whether that is Revelation, the world will say, it is like, right? Because we are trying to use our human image in order to comprehend something that is beyond us. But how has that experience changed you? You said something about how it has changed the way you talk about hell, the judgment, the character of God. You know, what can you tell us about that character of God that has changed you?
Yeah, I think what happened when I saw heaven was, to answer your question, like heaven wasn't expected. Like it just happened to me, Pastor Israel, when I least expected it. Like, because, you know, I wish I could tell people I became perfect after I met Jesus, but that would be a lie. I struggled with the same sins, but now I had this like comfort, like I can come back to Jesus and repent.
Amen.
But every time I went back, the conscience spoke to me and said, now you have power not to go back. But I kept ignoring that voice. Like, it's, I can't change this fast. Like, I got to party one more time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let me just get one more taste of that sin. And God was like, nope. Because I started getting into car accidents. I started to get into, like, every time I went to a party, Pastor Matt Israel, my car would get wrecked in the weirdest way. There would be a box in the middle of the freeway, which does not happen in California. I've never seen a crater box in my 45 years of life, you know. The crater box was in the middle of the freeway last time I went to a nightclub. And the time before that, my car hit a bump on the freeway and it spun on the freeway. I almost died. And every time I went back to the world, God said, nope. So it's actually good that God disciplines us. It shows you he cares. So my prayer for all the saints listening to your call is we got to come back. Even during this time, the Lord showed me kingdom of heaven, because the gospel is not just me and Jesus. It's you get saved into a kingdom, into a community, into a family, into your local church, into the universal church.
Amen.
And it says in the scripture, you're now surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who are watching us walk for the Lord. So when I saw heaven, it was the opposite of hell.
Amen.
Full of life and joy and peace, full of hope.
Amen.
I felt like I belong here. When I was in hell, I felt like I belong here in a different way, like without any life, like just guilt. Human beings, we cannot live long with guilt. It's just not a part of our capacity. It kills us. That's why sin killed us. It brought guilt, realization. So sin just kills, it says in the Bible. But grace brings life. Forgiveness, his perfect love brings life. So when I was in heaven, Pastor, I saw the pure green grass, the stream of living water. Everything's life. The cloud was so beautiful. It's like the cloud is beautiful now here where I'm at, but it was so beautiful.
Amen.
And angelic army and choir just worshiping God.
Amen.
When I audibly heard this angelic choir, which is in the Bible, Revelation 4, 5, 6, they're worshiping God. It was so beautiful. I said, this cannot be a human being. This is angels. And I just supernaturally knew they're angels. I look up, I see the new Jerusalem coming from heaven. Pure gold. This city is pure gold, just like the Bible says. It's not symbolic. It's a millennial reign
Amen.
Of the kingdom. It's a distance between Dallas to New York in height and width and length. And when I looked up, because it's a cube, it looks like a pyramid from this angle, but it's a perfect city protected by the glory of God. And only those who are martyred, it says in the Bible, go there. Blessed are those who take part in the first resurrection, who are beheaded. So not everyone gets to partake in that, but it's like the first harvest, because Jesus wants to have a special 1,000 years with his martyrs before the rest of the saints join. That's why the greatest honor, and if you look at all 12 disciples besides John, were martyred in church history. So when I saw that new Jerusalem, I said, wow, there's my home. And I saw the glory of God, and he came to me in this glorious light. And when I looked into that light, it wrecked me forever, because when I heard the audible voice of the Father, not the Son or the Holy Spirit, but the Father God, he testified about Jesus. It was like many rushing waters, so majestic, full of so much glory and authority and heaviness, yet warmth of a father. It was, you know, fathers are scary sometimes, authority of the Father and the warmth of the Father. It was like grace and truth perfected and magnified, personified, the Father speaking. I looked into that light and I knew that's where I'm from. He created me. He's my king. He's my dad. He's my everything. He's my source.
Amen.
My goal is to please this higher creator. I'm a creature. He's my dad. I'm his son. All I must do, just like Jesus, is to be pleasing to the Father every hour of my life.
Amen.
And I looked in there and he spoke to me, because it's like this beaming light just transforms you. I was like, wow.
Amen.
Wow, like, wow, God, I worship you in spirit and truth. And he goes, Jesus Christ is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, listen to him, listen to him. And I opened my eyes and I knew I went to heaven and came back.
Amen.
And this was at the peak of my backsliding. I said, Mom, Dad, I just heard God's voice. And my dad goes, Steve, you know, you saw hell and you didn't change. You're kind of the same. And he was disappointed. And I said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I need to change. So after that visitation, the party stopped. The backsliding stopped. My non-Christian friends started leaving. And I was in the church like all day long in the prayer mountain. And I prayed and became a missionary to China a year later. So yeah, that was the visit to heaven. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So my last question, and again, I really appreciate your time. What will you say to a non-believer about your experience of both the near-death experience of hell and also the majestic understanding and appearance of heaven, and as well to believers, especially those who are struggling to comprehend the scripture, struggling with sin, as we all do, but also, most especially, those who are doubting right now because of so many evils that are around us, you know, like we were told in Timothy, right, in the latter days, because of this so much evil that's going to happen, even through the word of Jesus in Matthew, because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. You know, we see all this evil everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So what will you say to both unbelievers and believers who are still toying with sin, who are still playing with sin, you know, especially what you said, you know, after your near-death experience of hell, you know, you're still like, oh, let me do it one more time. Let me do it one more time. Like, what encouragement would you say to those who are holding first, those who are toiling with sin, and those who are yet to even understand the concept of God in their life? So these three categories, how will you respond to them as we bring this episode to a close?
Yes, I would respond to the unbelievers and say, heaven and hell is real, but take heart. I once did not believe either. I thought Christians were crazy. But when I faced death, I knew only Jesus could save. So I want to tell all the unbelievers, religion sounds good. You might even have had spiritual experiences, but those are all counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
Religion was man-made by smart people, guys, to control you, and by the devil to lead you away from Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father or heaven through me. So I would encourage every unbeliever to start praying, even challenging God, saying, God, if you're real, encounter me. Every time people pray, Allah, are you real? Jesus, are you real? Jesus will show up.
Amen.
He will not give his glory to another. And he is fair. He doesn't have favoritism. It says in the Bible, he doesn't show favoritism to one man over another. Chance comes to all, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. 1 Timothy 2:4, I desire all people to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's how big his heart is. Like, he loves all people because his heart is so big, but you have to respond. Free will is real.
Amen.
I want to emphasize that. He doesn't send anyone to hell. He wants people in heaven. Secondly, I would tell these unbelievers, pick up a Bible, listen to testimonies, pray. When your Christian friend invites you to church, just go once. You have nothing to lose. What if hell's real? You're screwed. If heaven's real, you're blessed. So don't play games. Catch 22. No. If you look at the game matrix, right? Mm-hmm. The summation of this game model, you got to go. You got to go and you have nothing to lose. And if heaven is real or hell is real, you must choose life. So I want to encourage you to go. That's called game theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
The probability is in your corner if you go. Now, secondly, to the believers who are dabbling in sin, I would say sin destroys. Did you know that even the smallest opening of intention, I'm not talking about making mistakes where you make a mistake. That's mm-hmm. different than sin. Sin mm-hmm. is like, God, I'm going to go against your word
yep.
because you're merciful. We must surrender. When you repent, times of refreshing will come.
Amen.
And the Lord says, I bless those who fear me. So who cares how holy you look at church and raising your hand and singing songs and saying amen? When you're alone, you're living like an unbeliever. I would not dabble with that because now who knows if you're saved or not. It's very scary. I'm not saying we have to be perfect,
mm-hmm.
but we should be honest, transparent, and humble. We should be pure in heart. The Lord says, without, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. I thought they're talking about, oh, I see God. No, they're talking about heaven. Those with pure hearts who forgive the unforgivable, love the unlovable, bless the unblessable. They're the ones who go to heaven, not the ones who call themselves Christian. So I'm careful. I don't even have time to judge others, Pastor Israel. I'm so busy working on my salvation, growing closer to the Lord. But one thing I've learned to do is to walk from heaven and live on earth. One thing I learned to do is carry the fragrance of Christ and be sweet to my wife, be sweet to my coworkers, be honest. I'm very firm and honest about truth. But I learned how to be with Jesus because there's no other sign. There's no other fruit except love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And I would tell the believers who want more of God, I would tell them, please pray, plug into a local church, be humble, work with others, make disciples,
Amen.
Lay down your life. Only Amen. One life, it will soon be passed.
Mm.
Only what's done for Christ will last.
Last.
Let's set up shop. Let's go to where the homeless and the poor are. Let's go where we can possibly lose our lives. Let's give our wealth away. Let's store up treasures in heaven. There's this deception like this world is forever,
Amen.
And we're like, we got to stop, set up shop here, set up shop there. No, we're going to go to heaven one day and you cannot take anything with you. That's why the apostle Paul said, with food and clothing, we shall be content.
Yep.
So we use unrighteous mammon to bring in souls. We use all our time and energy to plunder hell and to bring souls into heaven. Why?
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit desires one thing, for us to do his will. What is his will? It says in John chapter 6, that not one person that Jesus called perishes. He desires that. And I asked God, how come no one's going? And God said, they're not listening.
Mm.
My son, they're all disobeying me. The harvest is plentiful, Steve. There's 7 billion souls I want to bring, but my church ain't listening. They're too busy arguing over the carpet and the piano and the choir and the deacon board. That's why I don't go to board meetings. They're boring and they're bored and they have nothing to do with the Lord. So I'm on the offensive. We got to bring the kingdom. I'm not playing defense. We go forward, snatch souls, go on
Amen.
Testimonies, write books, write songs like you do, Pastor. Write books and teach a seminary. Equip the mind and the spirit of this generation to fear Amen. The Lord. What is the fear of the Lord in the original Hebrew word?
Mm.
Immediate and complete obedience to God.
Amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's what I would share. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The last question I will ask to draw this episode to a conclusion will be, please tell us more about your ministry, what you do, and how people can connect with you.
Amen, Pastor Israel. Yeah. You know, every ministry is just about a medium to exalt Jesus.
Amen.
They're just tools. They're not end in itself. So we have a ministry called Revive the Nations, which equips pastors overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have communities.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have a brother on a call from Turkey who has no community. He prays with us every morning.
Amen.
Sisters in Azerbaijan, we minister to them 3 hours a morning. We have people joining from all over the world. So our calling is to equip this generation
Amen.
And help ministers who are kind of isolated and alone. Imagine if you were there by yourself, you know how lonely that is? You know, so we want to be a virtual community and
Amen.
Pray that they have divine appointments. So my website is called All Nations with an S, All Nations JC, you know, Jesus Christ, allnationsjc.org. And you can give, support, etc. We're sending money to Lebanon right now where they set up camp. My friend Joe Lee is a missionary in Lebanon and he's where all the refugees are coming. So they need money for food. So we have ways to send it over there, all of it, not like 90%, all of it, if you give for that purpose.
Amen.
And then I have a book called 8 Hours in Hell through Destiny Image. I'm writing another book right now. We're starting to called How to Overcome Depression and Anxiety, because I meet so many people with depression, anxiety, insomnia in this generation through social media and technology, messed up food. People are dying early. Amen. 1/3 of all of South Korea is dying right now from cancer. It used to be 1/100, 1/10. Now it's 1/3. Every 1 in 3 death is cancer. So we're praying. We go over there a few times a year. My Instagram handle is SteveKang97. My YouTube is SteveKang97. So you can keep updated through websites and subscribe and stuff. And keep in touch. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So yeah, can we pray,
please? Yes, yes, yes. Pastor,
thank you, sir.
Thank you for sharing your life over the phone. I got so blessed by the wealth of your life and your testimony.
Thank you.
So us two sons of you, Father God, we come in agreement to bowl into the throne room of heaven. We thank you for the anointing, God, as we spend all morning and all day, all of our lives with you. We surrender all, God. I pray for every listener on this podcast that they will not meet Christianity, but they will meet Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And they will reform Christianity, reform the church.
Amen.
Serve, become pillars in the local church. Be salt and light of the world. Be a loving father and a loving wife, godly children, generous fathers and mothers. I pray, God, that the kingdom of heaven will come into every hour and area of their lives as we repent daily. Faith is spelled F-I-G-H-T, Lord. We're here to fight the good fight of faith. So thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, that many listeners on this podcast through Pastor Emmanuel Israel will be sanctified and healed and made whole to follow Jesus. Amen. They will repent and believe and no longer go to hell, but go to heaven and store much treasures in heaven as well. Amen. So thank you, Lord God, for this precious time. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me today. We've journeyed through some profound and difficult themes together, such as addiction, suffering, guilt, spiritual awakening, judgment, mercy, and the search for truth. Brother Steve Gang shared not only the details of a near-death experience that brought him into the reality of hell, but also the transformation that followed afterward, how that encounter reshaped his understanding of God, human life, morality, and eternity itself. We explore the tension between skepticism and faith, the contrast between Buddhist concepts of suffering and the Christian understanding of judgment and redemption, and the deeply personal question of what happens when a person confronts him or herself with complete moral clarity. Whether you are a believer in Christ or you're still wrestling with these questions yourself, I hope this conversation encourages you to think more deeply about life, the soul, and the direction we are all moving toward. Thank you, Brother Steve Gang, for your honesty, vulnerability, and willingness to share your story with us. To learn more about him, please visit his website, All Nations, plural, All Nations, jcjesuschrist.org. So, All Nations, jc.org.
For more information and resources, including original songs, books, articles, and podcasts, all written and composed by Emmanuel through God's grace, please be sure to visit our website, www.emmanuelisrael.com. That's www.emmanuelisrael.com. Many of the themes we explore on this podcast, personal growth, relationships, and meaning, are all part of the work we do through Living Renewal. It is a faith-based biblical counseling service that is grounded in scripture and executed with thoughtful care. To inquire, please visit www.livingrenewal.com. That's www.livingrenewal.com.
As always, thank you for listening to Walk With Me. Be sure to come back next time for the next episode. Until then, may God bless and keep us all in His name. Amen. Don't forget, walk with me as I walk with Christ. Amen.